We're back on the air.
Am I back plugged in, Oberlee?
Yes.
Oh, what God has to put up with. Just to get you ones up here with us. Close association in misery. Well, I'm going to get this thought out anyway, because it's an important thought. I'm not going to talk years or perceptions of time at this moment, because you're going to find that all the way back hundreds of thousands of years prior to BC, that's what you call it, and you think of it as before Christ and after Christ. That's not what it says, but that's good enough. So you can count 2,000 years back to there. We'll just add about 400,000 or 500,000, give or take a minute or two. And you're going to find that there was a whole civilization that came here from Nibiru. Now, a lot of you are going to recognize that name as being a little closer in pronunciation of you ones want to call it Maldek. Forget that one. That is total mispronunciation and misperception, and somebody hears and somebody writes down. Just like Judas Iscariot versus Iscariot versus Ihariot. So let's talk about Mardak. That's where a bunch of ETs first appeared onto your place. Now I'm going to back up again and tell you that all of this is documented by the Sumerians, Eshu, M-A-R-I-A-N-S. Every bit of it, the entire history of creation. Who was Adam? Maybe he was a test tube baby? Well, I'm going to give you some hard news, and you can go back it up in your own research. The entire black race in South Africa were created robotoids to service the gold mines. On this planet, headed for your solar system, they came here searching. Now, what in the world could they have been searching for? The same things that you want to search for out in your researching projects. You've got a mess. These ones had an incredible mess in the atmosphere, but it could be contained, it could be cleansed, it could be made viable by particulated gold, G-O-L-D. They could not alchemize as perfectly as they could locate and obtain gold. Now, guess where they found a lot of gold? Not in California, but in South Africa. But at that time, there were not enough workers to dig the amounts of gold. And besides that, we elite get awfully tired. And if you can find something mechanical, that's what you do. So you create what is in your capability of creating. Now, this is going to just smash a lot of black people, and that really ticks me off, because nobody waits to get to the truth of the story. I'm talking about a beginning. But that's how they originally came to be in South Africa. They didn't start out slaves, precious ones. I mean, the English didn't go down there and suddenly decide to make slaves. They already were. Some just growing enough to begin to emancipate selves. If you were able to set aside these incredible prejudices, you would find the most wondrous evolvement of a species flowering into God creatures and wholeness. But you don't do that. You have what's rights. We're finally getting to something that I don't have to just continually hound you about what is wrong. And yet with this too, you have to look around and see what is wrong before you can do anything about it, much less handle this kind of information. But I can now present it to you because you can go look it up. For those who are willing to open their eyes, you can see it. And you can see the sense of it. God just decided one morning there's going to be light. As a matter of fact, yes, that's exactly what happened. But not like it's been told to you. And if you understand the massive power that you have in that God sheltering system, you will also know that we can create anything we want. I don't have to uncreate. There's no point in uncreating. They plan to tear down what they fixed and manufactured. Therefore, all we have to do is create. And so that we're not stopped, we create within the system so that it's acceptable to them. And in that way, they neither will want to stop us, nor can they. We stay small. We don't argue with them to get our place of pride at the top of the heap. Because that's not the point of it. That's not going to get you through this time. And ones want to know, well, what is that planet coming out there toward us? Aha! It's a biggie. And it can do exactly what Nibiru did. Come in and suck out half of planets as it passes through. And when you wipe off half of a planet and all the satellites around it, its little moons and things, you have a real turbulent mess. And that's exactly what happened. To these planets out there, beyond your visual field, until this last century. And now you've got the proof of it. You've sent some probes out there. And what did these probes prove? Not a lot of anything, except the absolute, uncontradictable proof of the truth of what the Sumerians brought to you. And I'm going to give it to you in that form. And then you can go look it up and fill in the blanks, because we have a lot of building to do. And quite frankly, I know that you're tired and I'm tired of this long distance communication system. And yet I don't want to get you killed. But your elite, your government runners know about it, have done everything in their power to stop its coming to the light of day, and they'll continue to press to give you such disadvantage that you'll never find it out, much less go and be able to prove it for self. But I have to remind you, we only need a few. And we only have to offer unto the rest. At any rate, under any circumstances, that's what God is, allowance and giving and love. And the word will go out. And ones who wish to accept it may do so with our blessings. I told you from onset there would be no great wealth made from this information. This is why. Whatever living and reward will come from business, from industry, from sharing, from contribution, from doing a good job. And therefore we can only give great appreciation unto the ones willing to take the burden of this in the beginning and walk that gauntlet. In perfection, no. A long way from perfection, but learning, growing, willing to learn, accepting the discipline, making effort to grow. And then willing to step out there and take more risk. It's hard to paint a bullseye target on your chest when what you're going to say is so unacceptable. And why is it unacceptable? It is the most delightful truth that you can fathom. But you see, in truth, man becomes free and he can no longer be controlled. And therefore always will come the effort to stop it. I was quite entertained. Mr. Kissinger at the Bilderberg meeting recently, 21st of last month in Evian, France, said to Mr. Rockefeller, well, don't worry about parole. You know, we've got Bush and Clinton understands and he'll come through. A little nervous about parole, but the only thing he knows about us is what he's read in that insipid newspaper. And one automatically thinks that's Spotlight. Please, you have just arrived. He meant the Liberator, precious ones. So you're being heard. They're not going to allow someone in that can damage their cause. They will either reprogram, readjust, or take him out. But you see, it's better for them that he remain in, because it keeps ones like Greitz out. And yet, if Greitz got in, he would be hamstrung. With what already exists in Washington, he could fire everybody who comes in with the president, but you can't fire Congress. Not under these rules. Now, they just did it in Peru, and it was a very good idea. But you see, they also noted that the good old boys in the CIA were already down there, already had stirred that up. You will also note that they are complaining about the CIA intervention in Korea. Is there no place on the globe that your CIA is not? No, they're everywhere. Well-trained, well-disciplined, directly integrated with KGB, Mossad. The world intelligence service. In total service under British control, in total service to the global government. You are at war, you have enemy equipment in your nation brought in under your government all around the country. Now what can you do about it? Nothing, except know about it and work as hard as you can, praying for one thing, to set off the photon belt long enough that we can begin to get some funds in usable form shifted. It does take money to do what we need to do. And what I started to say before we had to be rudely interrupted by Oberly was that you ones who volunteer, I have asked you, please, don't think for one moment that I'm being insulting to you. I am so deeply grateful to you. We could not have made it. Please hear me. We could not have made it without your kindness and your labor. But it doesn't help us for you not to keep records. Don't think because when accounting time comes and the ability comes and funding comes, that you are helping us to not take. I've warned you, cash is going to be a problem. It's better to scatter it out. And when we take those markers, we'll double them, triple them, we'll bonus them out, we'll do whatever. We'll purchase your apartment, we'll do whatever to get those funds scattered around and usable. When there is no money and no ability to use it, all you will have are what you've been able to glean with that and building and businesses and growing. You need the money to get the grain field in. So, you know, when there are funds, don't think you're going to do great service just to come volunteer. If that's necessary, if there is not enough of abundant funding to do that, keep your records when there is. It gives us a place to put it, do you see? They're going to gradually close down every protective mechanism there is. A few will be the last to go. But if you go out there knowing that you may lose everything, you will work. It's like, I know I'm going to die tomorrow. I am really going to live today. We have to take it in that kind of perspective. There's no point in thinking you're going to come here and just get rich. What does that mean? Zero. You will lose it. You're going to lose it. They intend to get it from you. And then when the earth upheavals come, it won't be of any value at all, period. So using it to its fullest potential is its only value. And you're very fortunate. I cannot speak for all. I can speak for my scribe and DJ. They don't want to have more than you. There is no pleasure, precious ones, in having more than the others. How can you share? And there is no point in existence if you cannot share. It's going to be wondrous. It is going to be more wondrous than your wildest imaginations. Let us be grateful for the few with the vision over the past decade to hang in there when it was ridiculous and people laughed, people ridiculed, people threw stones, people refused to help. People gave great advice. Don't you do that. And in the doing, there have been business relationships right up until recently who said, don't do that. I'm telling you, don't do that. And these ones went personally and borrowed to do it. There are going to be some red faces. There are going to be some embarrassed ones. But do you see? It remains in Hatton's control. We all have to grow. Hatton has to grow. How do I do it? By serving well in my capacity, in my leadership. And you don't want somebody who lets everybody get away with this kind of behavior as experienced in this letter. We will either be mature and do our job properly for the reason that we came back, or go where the children play. I have to remind you, because you cannot bring these things back with you. You're not allowed to. And these agreements are made before we part in the morning, about 3:30. You have to know that it's not wise to bring this back. And it's your choice. Some things are not. They are just totally agreed upon, that they're left there, not brought in your consciousness, because you have not the ability to keep your mouth shut. And you have a great deal of compassion for your brother, and you're curious, you're eager, you know your capabilities at some level, and you want to share. And you know that you're a long way out front of the basic, ordinary human being experiencing on this planet. I didn't say clever as some of them, but they've been around as long as you have, getting clever against you. And sometimes I think you ones didn't learn your lessons well enough, so you've got to finish learning now. That you are just as clever, just as creative, and you can do it within the light and in godliness. But you have a relatively young civilization, young species of souls. I would hope that all of you will take the reminder of the Pleiadian groupings that I gave yesterday in the writing to look where you are. You're not even in segment two. You're barely out of kindergarten, precious ones. Some of you aren't even in level one. And yet this group in here wants to cop out on me. You're up there and you have been in level seven. Come back to serve the ones who haven't made it yet to level two. And you want to play their game so that you don't have to have the responsibility of your job, which is elder teacher and guide to those younger than you. So when you look around this world and you say, how could it be? It bees because you didn't do your job. And we're going to stick with it, by goodness, until we do it right. And we don't get a lot of opportunities to re-experience the greatest of cycles. And here we are again at the destruction of a planet. Will it or will it not? Always, without exception, with this group, it's gone down. I have to recognize that as failure for myself. I didn't do a good enough job with you. But you're going to stand and take some of your own responsibility and say, yes, that's right. I took time to write nasty pen letters and bitch about somebody else's position. Well, I don't care about your position. You can have my position if you want it. but you will earn it, because I will not relinquish it. And you would not have come here if you wanted that kind of a commander. And we have walked through the baby food stage, where I chewed it for you. And one's right in daily, oh, you shouldn't be so hard. How can you be so abrupt? I can read, but I can't take the tapes because you sound so severe. Well, I have to, because I'm such a pushover that I know that if I don't, you won't listen to me. At least with this group anymore. There isn't any problem with separation of Dorma from Hatam. You will notice that there still is on the part of some who come and then go. But these ones also throw rocks from wherever they are. And they continue to be abusive of all ones around them in their own given little circles. They end up being the most miserable, introvertedly cruel to self people of all. And you see, you must come to understanding. I have to come. What is the matter with it?
Well, you keep waving it around.
I don't.
She does.
There went the buck.
The buck stops here, right at her feet. I accept no responsibility for your equipment. I think anyway this is a sing-along or something, and maybe we should start singing. And as a matter of fact, we don't do enough singing and dancing. We don't have time right now, and yet there should be a great celebration. This is a celebration of life as never experienced before on this very place. You're moving into life. There is no bigger celebration. And you've come back to help this planet through, and the ones stationed around on it who are of us, of God. In the meanwhile, the responsibility is to get the word unto everyone so that they might make their choices and come into their remembering. Are they of God, or are they still going to experience? Or are they robotoid in creation or manufacture and simply serve out a span of experience? Those are not your decisions. You don't have to come up to someone and try to figure out whether this one is robotoid and is this his only experience. Yours is to do the very best you can. Do your job. And you see, it does cut in and out. I'm going to have to fix it myself. I would entertain some questions. I don't mean to blow you out. That's true. I really don't. But I'm going to take every opportunity to counter these kinds of things that come as slings and arrows that pull you apart. You see, it isn't just a matter of Dorma and Oberle, George and Desiree. They're only four people. All of you. You're lonely. You're isolated. You are absolutely dying for friendship and family. And since we don't have great church congregations, this is all we have. And the most beautiful thing about this kind of a family is you really don't have the choice of parents as such. That decision was made so far back to get you to this day that we can't consider it as a very important point. But when you are birthed onto this place, you are, quote, stuck with your relatives. Friendships are something that can only be based in mutual nurturing and caring and love. You can't even fall back on, well, that's your blood brother, you've got to. No, you don't got to. And when people say, oh, well, I love my father, he abused me, did everything to me, but, well, he is my father. No, he doesn't deserve even respect. So it's you who are confused. Bloodline doesn't mean much of anything. Respect, reverence, caring, nurturing, and friendship is what has importance, not your bloodline. If you can have both, you have been greatly, greatly blessed. Does that mean that you forfeit all responsibility if daddy was rotten to you? No. Because there is responsibility for attending those ones, if in fact they attended you. But I want all of you to get off of your guilt trips. If your parents were rotten to you, that was their choice. They could have handled it differently. Release them, forgive them, and move on. But do not forget. If you cannot learn from the experience, you are doomed. You are destined. You will repeat it in your own experience. And you can look around you and look at your own life and you will see that you do it. You sever relationships deliberately. Consciously, perhaps not, but deliberately. You have only one being that you can answer to, and that's self. Because when you answer to self, you are automatically answering to God. And when you can forgive self for whatever perceived guilt you carry because mommy didn't love you, or mommy beat you, or daddy abused you, you can't be whole. And how do you become whole? You release it to the best of your ability and you give it forth, that energy in love unto another. And through that is birth friendship and trust. And in that way, we all become one and back to God as family. I'm often caught short in my own emotional response as I get into your midst. Because you see, what you are not able to perceive is that you are my family. That would be the only reason that I'm here, is because you are my family. And I will not leave my brother. But it does not mean that I will force my brother. You are to release those who push you away. You have no choice. There is no choice for you to make. They are not you. You may only choose for yourself. And if they choose not to relate with you, and you can still have a warm relationship without arguing over these particular points, then enjoy it. You don't have to evangelize the world. It doesn't do any good. It brainwashes, perhaps. All you can do is offer an example. Of all the things I try to be to you once is stability and security, because there is no way that I can give you more love. Lay down my life for you? No. I don't have a life as you recognize to lay down for you. I'm willing to do more than that. I'm willing to live for you. And I'm willing to put up with whatever it takes so that we walk the rest of this journey properly, in success, and together.
I have a question.
Please.
A brother called me up one day and informed me of the news in the Philippines of some UFO sightings, and which claim that such sightings were prearranged, pre-announced, I would say, that these spaceships were commanded by Ashtar and Sananda, and that coverage of the media were invited to cover the proceedings of these sightings, and that evacuation centers were alleged to be pinpointed from the messages which were derived from this information from the spaceships. His question is, is this true? Is this real? Is this not adversarial stage play or something?
Well, where did this one get the information? I don't understand why I would be the one to be inquired of. I don't mean to be abrupt. I don't understand really what the question is.
The question is, are these sightings?
Well, I'll tell you right now that I am often in and out of the Philippines on these very days. So what else is going on? It's not my business to spread around. So I'm not going to respond to that. I have ones in the Philippines right now, and I'm concerned about them, and I fully intend to attend them. And as far as craft, they're in and they're out of there every day now. Most of them will appear just as you will most often see them here, in vapor, shrouds. A lot of transfer of energy forms that were the remnants left at Shasta when the majority of the extraterrestrials were removed from in the mountain, in the center, if you will, in the base. Now it's been probably 3 years that evacuation took place, because it's expected that they will blow Mount Shasta, and I mean have caused a volcanic eruption. So viable beings and fourth dimensional personages were removed. You see, there was a large, large extraterrestrial base in that mountain. And ones in service will usually only be left on your planet for a period of 6 months, with rotations occurring. We effort at not making it more than 6 months because of the density. As ones are experiencing, they become very confused. And many of these workers are direct crew, if you will, from these bases, are lost to your civilization simply because they just take up your civilization by being in the bombardment of this compression for too long. These are usually simply rotated to localized craft stationed in a given area. And can be rotated every 6 months. Most are not. They will spend 6 months in your density and perhaps 18 months in what we would call R&R. You have something different, though, in Mount Shasta. You have Lemurians, energies, atmospherians that have lived there for eons, millennia. There is a great base, an information base there. A lot of artifacts, wondrous documentation against this day in evolution were there. I say were there because those physical artifacts have mostly now been removed because of the anticipated earth changes and what we can look at as probability of topographical change. A great, great amount of the material from Shasta has been moved to the Philippines, and I would prefer not to give mountain locations or underground facility locations, along with these atmospherians. They are not dense enough to literally function in the human capacity for any period of time, although they can do that, and many ones have gone ahead and developed into total humanoid form. And by that I mean they can no longer really function easily beneath the sea and cycle oxygen as the atmospherians do. But they can. There are many entries into those underground facilities. But because of the great central location, as will be noted, as Lemuria again rises, it won't be called Lemuria, by the way, and I don't want to get into all that because it would be a distraction. But at this particular time, many of the bases, especially in the western United States, a lot of the things are being removed along with the forms. The crews, the equipment, if you will, for a space base are being transferred, relocated, because your government now has the power, and as you move into this period of the photon belt, regardless of what you experience, you're going to get into heavier and heavier and heavier changes and lighter and lighter and lighter forms. But this also gives them the ability, and just earth changes during these big upheavals, and especially as these other orbs come into your magnetic fields, you're going to have a tremendous response. So to say that these ones recognized Ashtar or Sananda, I wouldn't even comment on it. I have no reason to believe that would not be true. On the other hand, we are all extremely busy, and I wouldn't pay any attention to it. I personally, Hatton, would not.
Excuse me. Sorry.
You see, you come from a very, very important central location, and I understand your curiosity. Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
I'm still fascinated until now if I need to go home to the Philippines. I have not come into knowing myself.
Well, you'll have to go within and check that out. I can't tell you. I would not do that publicly anyway.
I know. I've been contemplating it for a long time and haven't gotten to that level yet, whatever. Anyway, do we also have some kind of a teaching just like this there in the Philippines?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there a particular place?
You're going to find it is absolutely identical. Names may be changed simply because of language.
Yes, but do you know the place so I can, because some people are asking me of this kind of arrangement or this kind of meeting that we have here, which may be available in the Philippines, so I can more or less direct my friends and people to get there, where to go.
Well, right now there's some plans underway that I would not be at liberty to speak of at all. It's still pretty embryonic. There are already some, quote, groups. There would be some duplicate building, for instance. There's already, you see, the information's already come through. You're going to find in places, specifically on Cubo, down toward the south, you're going to already find eight-sided domed dwellings being erected against the winds, and a lot of trenching, digging going on for security. A lot of things that we're going to be doing here will be duplicated there, etc. I guess that you could call them your brother, your sister, your reflection. You are both from...
We're back on the air.
Am I back plugged in overly?
Yes.
Oh, what God has to put up with. Just to get you ones up here with us. Close association in misery. Well, I'm going to get this thought out anyway, because it's an important thought. I'm not going to talk years or perceptions of time at this moment, because you're going to find that all the way back hundreds of thousands of years prior to BC, that's what you call it, and you think of it as before Christ and after Christ. That's not what it says, but that's good enough. So you can count 2,000 years back to there. We'll just add about 400,000 or 500,000, give or take a minute or two. And you're going to find that there was a whole civilization. Came here from Nibiru. Now, a lot of you are going to recognize that name as being a little closer in pronunciation of you ones want to call it Maldek. Forget that one. That is total mispronunciation and misperception, and somebody hears and somebody writes down. Just like Judas Iscariot versus Iscariot versus Ihariot. So let's talk about Maldek. That's where a bunch of ETs first appeared onto your place. Now I'm going to back up again and tell you that all of this is documented by the Sumerians, S-U, M-A-R-I-A-N-S. Every bit of it, the entire history of creation. Who was Adam? Maybe he was a test tube baby? Well, I'm going to give you some hard news, and you can go back it up in your own research. The entire black race in South Africa were created robotoids to service the gold mines. On this planet, headed for your solar system, they came here searching. Now, what in the world could they have been searching for? The same things that you want to search for out in your researching projects. You've got a mess. These ones had an incredible mess in the atmosphere, but it could be contained, it could be cleansed, it could be made viable by particulated gold, G-O-L-D. They could not alchemize as perfectly as they could locate and obtain gold. Now, guess where they found a lot of gold? Not in California, but in South Africa. But at that time, there were not enough workers to dig the amounts of gold. And besides that, we elite get awfully tired. And if you can find something mechanical, that's what you do. So you create what is in your capability of creating. Now, this is going to just smash a lot of black people, and that really ticks me off, because nobody waits to get to the truth of the story. I'm talking about a beginning. But that's how they originally came to be in South Africa. They didn't start out slaves, precious ones. I mean, the English didn't go down there and suddenly decide to make slaves. They already were. Some just growing enough to begin to emancipate selves. If you were able to set aside these incredible prejudices, you would find the most wondrous evolvement of a species flowering into God creatures and wholeness. But you don't do that. You have what's right. We're finally getting to something that I don't have to just continually hound you about what is wrong. And yet with this too, you have to look around and see what is wrong before you can do anything about it, much less handle this kind of information. But I can now present it to you because you can go look it up. For those who are willing to open their eyes, you can see it. And you can see the sense of it. God just decided one morning there's going to be light. As a matter of fact, yes, that's exactly what happened. But not like it's been told to you. And if you understand the massive power that you have in that God-sheltering system, you will also know that we can create anything we want. I don't have to uncreate. There's no point in uncreating. They plan to tear down what they fixed and manufactured. Therefore, all we have to do is create. And so that we're not stopped, we create within the system so that it's acceptable to them. And in that way, they neither will want to stop us, nor can they. We stay small. We don't argue with them to get our place of pride at the top of the heap. Because that's not the point of it. That's not going to get you through this time. And ones want to know, well, what is that planet coming out there toward us? Aha! It's a biggie. And it can do exactly what Nibiru did. Come in and suck out half of planets as it passes through. And when you wipe off half of a planet and all the satellites around it, its little moons and things, you have a real turbulent mess. And that's exactly what happened. To these planets out there, beyond your visual field, until this last century. And now you've got the proof of it. You've sent some probes out there. And what did these probes prove? Not a lot of anything, except the absolute, uncontradictable proof of the truth of what the Sumerians brought to you. And I'm going to give it to you in that form. And then you can go look it up and fill in the blanks. Because we have a lot of building to do. And quite frankly, I know that you're tired, and I'm tired of this long-distance communication system. And yet I don't want to get you killed. But your elite, your government, runners know about it, have done everything in their power to stop its coming to the light of day, and they'll continue to press to give you such disadvantage that you'll never find it out, much less go and be able to prove it for sale. But I have to remind you, we only need a few. And we only have to offer unto the rest. At any rate, under any circumstances, that's what God is, allowance and giving and love. And the word will go out, and ones who wish to accept it may do so with our blessings. I told you from onset there would be no great wealth made from this information. This is why. Whatever living and reward will come from business, from industry, from sharing, from contribution, from doing a good job. And therefore we can only give great appreciation unto the ones willing to take the burden of this in the beginning and walk that gauntlet. In perfection? No. A long way from perfection, but learning, growing, willing to learn, accepting the discipline, making effort to grow. And then willing to step out there and take more risk. It's hard to paint a bullseye target on your chest when what you're going to say is so unacceptable. And why is it unacceptable? It is the most delightful truth that you can fathom. But you see, in truth, man becomes free and he can no longer be controlled. And therefore, always will come the effort to stop it. I was quite entertained. Mr. Kissinger at the Bilderberg meeting recently, 21st of last month, in Evian, France, said to Mr. Rockefeller, "Well, don't worry about parole. You know, we've got Bush. And Clinton understands, and he'll come through." A little nervous about parole, but the only thing he knows about us is what he's read in that insipid newspaper. And one automatically thinks that's spotlight. "Please, you have just arrived." He meant the liberator, precious ones. So you're being heard. They're not going to allow someone in that can damage their cause. They will either reprogram, readjust, or take him out. But you see, it's better for them that he remain in, because it keeps ones like Greitz out. And yet, if Greitz got in, he would be hamstrung. with what already exists in Washington. He could fire everybody who comes in with the president, but you can't fire Congress. Not under these rules. Now, they just did it in Peru, and it was a very good idea. But you see, they also noted that the good old boys in the CIA were already down there, already had stirred that up. You will also note that they are complaining about the CIA intervention in Korea. Is there no place on the globe that your CIA is not? No, they're everywhere. Well trained, well disciplined, directly integrated with KGB, Mossad. The World Intelligence Service, in total service under British control, in total service to the global government. You are at war, you have enemy equipment in your nation brought in under your government all around the country. Now, what can you do about it? Nothing, except know about it and work as hard as you can, praying for one thing, to set off the photon belt long enough that we can begin to get some funds in usable form shifted. It does take money to do what we need to do. And what I started to say before we had to be rudely interrupted by Oberle was that you ones who volunteer, I have asked you, please, don't think for one moment that I'm being insulting to you. I am so deeply grateful to you. We could not have made it. Please hear me. We could not have made it without your kindness and your labor. But it doesn't help us for you not to keep records. Don't think because when accounting time comes and the ability comes and funding comes that you are helping us to not take. I've warned you, cash is going to be a problem. It's better to scatter it out. And when we take those markers, we'll double them, triple them, we'll bonus them out, we'll do whatever. We'll purchase your apartment, we'll do whatever to get those funds scattered around and usable. When there is no money and no ability to use it, all you will have are what you've been able to glean with that and building and businesses and growing. You need the money to get the grain field in. So, you know, when there are funds, don't think you're going to do great service just to come volunteer. If that's necessary, if there is not enough of abundant funding to do that, keep your records when there is. It gives us a place to put it, do you see? They're going to gradually close down every protective mechanism there is. A few will be the last to go. But if you go out there knowing that you may lose everything, you will work. It's like, I know I'm going to die tomorrow. I am really going to live today. We have to take it in that kind of perspective. There's no point in thinking you're going to come here and just get rich. What does that mean? Zero. You will lose it. You're going to lose it. They intend to get it from you. And then when the earth upheavals come, it won't be of any value at all, period. So using it to its fullest potential is its only value. And you're very fortunate. I cannot speak for all. I can speak for my scribe and DJ. They don't want to have more than you. There is no pleasure, precious ones, in having more than the others. How can you share? And there is no point in existence if you cannot share. It's going to be wondrous. It is going to be more wondrous than your wildest imaginations. Let us be grateful for the few with the vision over the past decade to hang in there when it was ridiculous and people laughed, people ridiculed, people threw stones, people refused to help, people gave great advice. Don't you do that. And in the doing, there have been business relationships right up until recently who said, don't do that. I'm telling you, don't do that. And these ones went personally and borrowed to do it. There are going to be some red faces. There are going to be some embarrassed ones. But do you see? It remains in Hatton's control. We all have to grow. Hatton has to grow. How do I do it? By serving well in my capacity, in my leadership. And you don't want somebody who lets everybody get away with this kind of behavior as experienced in this letter. We will either be mature and do our job properly for the reason that we came back, or go where the children play. I have to remind you, because you cannot bring these things back with you. You're not allowed to. And these agreements are made before we part in the morning, about 3:30. You have to know that it's not wise to bring this back. And it's your choice. Some things are not. They are just totally agreed upon that they're left there, not brought in your consciousness, because you have not the ability to keep your mouth shut. And you have a great deal of compassion for your brother, and you're curious, you're eager, you know your capabilities at some level, and you want to share. And you know that you're a long way out front of the basic ordinary human being experiencing on this planet. I didn't say clever as some of them, but they've been around as long as you have, getting clever against you. And sometimes I think you ones didn't learn your lessons well enough, so you've got to finish learning now. That you are just as clever, just as creative, and you can do it within the light and in godliness. But you have a relatively young civilization, young species of souls. I would hope that all of you will take the reminder of the Pleiadian groupings that I gave yesterday in the writing to look where you are. You're not even in segment two. You're barely out of kindergarten, precious ones. Some of you aren't even in level one. And yet this group in here wants to cop out on me. You're up there and you have been in level seven. Come back to serve the ones who haven't made it yet to level two. And you want to play their game so that you don't have to have the responsibility of your job, which is elder teacher and guide to those younger than you. So when you look around this world and you say, how could it be? It be's because you didn't do your job. And we're going to stick with it, by goodness, until we do it right. And we don't get a lot of opportunities to re-experience the greatest of cycles. And here we are again at the destruction of a planet. Will it or will it not? Always, without exception, with this group, it's gone down. I have to recognize that as failure for myself. I didn't do a good enough job with you. But you're going to stand and take some of your own responsibility and say, yes, that's right. I took time to write nasty pen letters and bitch about somebody else's position. Well, I don't care about your position. You can have my position if you want it, but you will earn it. Because I will not relinquish it. And you would not have come here if you wanted that kind of a commander. And we have walked through the baby food stage where I chewed it for you. And one's right in daily. Oh, you shouldn't be so hard. How can you be so abrupt? I can read, but I can't take the tapes because you sound so severe. Well, I have to because I'm such a pushover that I know that if I don't, you won't listen to me. At least with this group anymore, there isn't any problem with separation of Dorma from Hatan. You will notice that there still is on the part of some who come and then go. But these ones also throw rocks from wherever they are. And they continue to be abusive of all ones around them in their own given little circles. They end up being the most miserable, introvertedly cruel to self people of all. And you see, you must come to understanding. I have to come. What is the matter with it?
Well, you keep waving your arm.
I don't.
She does.
There went the book.
The book stops here, right at her feet. I accept no responsibility for your equipment. I think anyway this is a sing-along or something, and maybe we should start singing. And as a matter of fact, we don't do enough singing and dancing. We don't have time right now, and yet there should be a great celebration. This is a celebration of life as never experienced before on this very place. You're moving into life. There is no bigger celebration. And you've come back to help this planet through, and the ones stationed around on it who are of us, of God. In the meanwhile, the responsibility is to get the word unto everyone so that they might make their choices and come into their remembering. Are they of God, or are they still going to experience? Or are they robotoid in creation or manufacture and simply serve out a span of experience? Those are not your decisions. You don't have to come up to someone and try to figure out whether this one is robotoid and is this his only experience. Yours is to do the very best you can. Do your job. And you see, it does cut in and out. I'm going to have to fix it myself. I would entertain some questions. I don't mean to blow you out. That's true. I really don't. But I'm going to take every opportunity to counter these kinds of things that come as slings and arrows that pull you apart. You see, it isn't just a matter of Dorma and Oberle, George and Desiree. They're only four people. All of you. You're lonely. You're isolated. You are absolutely dying for friendship and family. And since we don't have great church congregations, this is all we have. And the most beautiful thing about this kind of a family is you really don't have the choice of parents as such. That decision was made so far back to get you to this day that we can't consider it as a very important point. But when you are birthed onto this place, you are, quote, stuck with your relatives. Friendships are something that can only be based in mutual nurturing and caring and love. You can't even fall back on, well, that's your blood brother, you've got to. No, you don't got to. And when people say, oh, well, I love my father, he abused me, did everything to me, but, well, he is my father. No, he doesn't deserve even respect. So it's you who are confused. Bloodline doesn't mean much of anything. Respect, reverence, caring, nurturing, and friendship is what has importance, not your bloodline. If you can have both, you have been greatly, greatly blessed. Does that mean that you forfeit all responsibility if daddy was rotten to you? No. Because there is responsibility for attending those ones, if in fact they attended you. But I want all of you to get off of your guilt trips. If your parents were rotten to you, that was their choice. They could have handled it differently. Release them, forgive them, and move on. But do not forget. If you cannot learn from the experience, you are doomed. You are destined. You will repeat it in your own experience. And you can look around you and look at your own life and you will see that you do it. You sever relationships deliberately. Consciously, perhaps not, but deliberately. You have only one being that you can answer to, and that's self. Because when you answer to self, you are automatically answering to God. And when you can forgive self for whatever perceived guilt you carry because mommy didn't love you, or mommy beat you, or daddy abused you, you can't be whole. And how do you become whole? You release it to the best of your ability and you give it forth, that energy in love unto another. And through that is birth friendship and trust. And in that way, we all become one and back to God as family. I'm often caught short in my own emotional response as I get into your midst. Because you see, what you are not able to perceive is that you are my family. That would be the only reason that I'm here, is because you are my family. and I will not leave my brother. But it does not mean that I will force my brother. You are to release those who push you away. You have no choice. There is no choice for you to make. They are not you. You may only choose for yourself. And if they choose not to relate with you, and you can still have a warm relationship without arguing over these particular points, then enjoy it. You don't have to evangelize the world. It doesn't do any good. It brainwashes, perhaps. All you can do is offer an example. Of all the things I try to be to you ones is stability and security. Because there is no way that I can give you more love. Lay down my life for you? No. I don't have a life, as you recognize, to lay down for you. I'm willing to do more than that. I'm willing to live for you. And I'm willing to put up with whatever it takes so that we walk the rest of this journey properly, in success, and together.
I have a question.
Please.
A brother called me up one day and informed me of the news in the Philippines of some UFO sightings, and which claim that such sightings were prearranged, pre-announced, I would say, that these spaceships were commanded by Ashtar and Sananda, and that coverage of the media were invited to cover the proceedings of these sightings, and that evacuation centers were alleged to be pinpointed from the messages which were derived from this information from the spaceships. His question is, is this true? Is this real? Is this an adversarial stage play or something?
Well, where did this one get the information? I don't understand why I would be the one to be inquired of. I don't mean to be abrupt. I don't understand really what the question is.
The question is, are these sightings?
Well, I'll tell you right now that I am often in and out of the Philippines on these very days. So what else is going on is not, it's not my business to spread around. So I'm not going to respond to that. I have ones in the Philippines right now, and I'm concerned about them, and I fully intend to attend them. And as far as craft, they're in and they're out of there every day now. Most of them will appear just as you will most often see them here, in vapor, shrouds. A lot of transfer of energy forms that were the remnants left at Shasta when the majority of the extraterrestrials were removed from in the mountain, in the center, if you will, in the base. Now it's been probably 3 years that evacuation took place because it's expected that they will blow Mount Shasta, and I mean have cause a volcanic eruption. So viable beings and fourth dimensional personages were removed. You see, there was a large extraterrestrial base in that mountain. And ones in service will usually only be left on your planet for a period of 6 months, with rotations occurring. We effort at not making it more than 6 months because of the density. As ones are experiencing, they become very confused. And many of these workers are direct crew, if you will, from these bases are lost to your civilization simply because they just take up your civilization by being in the bombardment of this compression for too long. These are usually simply rotated to localized craft stationed in a given area and can be rotated every 6 months. Most are not. They will spend 6 months in your density and perhaps 18 months in what we would call R&R. You have something different, though, in Mount Shasta. You have Lemurians, energies, atmospherians that have lived there for eons, millennia. There is a great base, an information base there. A lot of artifacts, wondrous documentation against this day in evolution were there. I say were there because those physical artifacts have mostly now been removed because of the anticipated Earth changes and what we can look at as probability of topographical change. A great, great amount of the material from Shasta has been moved to the Philippines, and I would prefer not to give mountain locations or underground facility locations, along with these atmospherians. They are not dense enough to literally function in the human capacity for any period of time, although they can do that. And many ones have gone ahead and developed into total humanoid form. And by that I mean they can no longer really function easily beneath the sea and cycle oxygen as the atmospherians do. But they can. There are many entries into those underground facilities, but because of the great central location, as will be noted, as Lemuria again rises, it won't be called Lemuria, by the way, and I don't want to get into all that because it would be a distraction. But at this particular time, many of the bases, especially in the western United States, a lot of the things are being removed along with the forms, the crews, the equipment, if you will, for a space base are being transferred, relocated, because your government now has the power, and as you move into this period of the photon belt, regardless of what you experience, you're going to get into heavier and heavier and heavier changes and lighter and lighter and lighter forms. But this also gives them the ability, and just Earth changes during these big upheavals, and especially as these other orbs come into your magnetic fields, you're going to have a tremendous response. So to say that these ones recognized Ashtar or Sananda, I wouldn't even comment on it. I have no reason to believe that would not be true. On the other hand, we are all extremely busy, and I wouldn't pay any attention to it. I personally, Hatton, would not.
Excuse me. Sorry.
You see, you come from a very, very important central location, and I understand your curiosity. Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
I'm still fascinating until now if I need to go home to the Philippines. I have not come into knowing myself.
Well, you'll have to go within and check that out. I can't tell you. I would not do that publicly anyway.
I know. I've been contemplating that for a long time and haven't gotten to that level yet, whatever. Anyway, do we also have some kind of a teaching that's like this there in the Philippines?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there a particular place?
You're going to find it is absolutely identical. Names may be changed simply because of language.
Yes, but do you know the place so I can, because some people are asking me of this kind of arrangement or this kind of meeting that we have here, which may be available in the Philippines, so I can more or less direct my, you know, my friends and people to get there, where to go.
Well, right now there's some plans underway that I would not be at liberty to speak of at all. It's still pretty embryonic. There are already some, quote, groups. There would be some duplicate building, for instance. There's already, you see, the information's already come through. You're going to find in places, specifically on Cuba, down toward the south, you're going to already find eight-sided domed dwellings being erected against the winds, and a lot of trenching, digging going on for security. A lot of things that we're going to be doing here will be duplicated there, etc. I guess that you could call them your brother, your sister, your reflection. You are both from